don't understand what the problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to The Drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the up. The Drive. The Drive.
He needs to shut his mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yes.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now The Drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
7:06, it is The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. We always, always, always appreciate, never take for granted you joining us for our radio program. Ed Isaacson of NBC, he is a draft analyst. He will join us at the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk draft coming up tomorrow. It is the NBA draft. The finals just ended, and here we go. NBA draft, summer league coming up in just a couple of weeks. We will be broadcasting live Monday through Wednesday, the 10th, 11th, and 12th out there. Well, 8th, 9th, excuse me, the 11th, 12th, and 13th out there from Vegas back here that Thursday, Friday. So we'll bring you all your draft coverage. And the assumption is that part of that coverage will be the newest member of the Sacramento Kings will be playing in summer league, the rookie that they, of course, draft tomorrow. That's the assumption because there's no guarantee they keep the 8 pick. And if there was ever a year to involve that pick in a trade, this would be the year. When you're looking at lists of top free agents available or expected to be available, and this encompasses unrestricted free agents, player options, and of course, restricted free agents as well. It's funny, the list I'm looking at, the number one ranked unrestricted free agent. Now, keep in mind, this includes player options. The number one ranked free agent on the list is Kevin Durant. The number two free agent on the list, who happens to have a player option, is some LeBron James guy. I just find that a little interesting.
I just think it's because even though both of those two are, the odds are that they stay with the teams that they're in.
Sure.
People are more expecting LeBron James to absolutely stay, whereas Kevin Durant, there's a little bit more of a question. So
you are not on the LeBron to Sacramento club?
Don't think so.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Nice. I mean, he did it in Cleveland. Why not Sacramento?
Why not just sign one-year deals, two-year deals with teams and get all the bad teams? Signs with Sacramento this year, stays for 2 years, gets
a title. Well, if he's worried about his legacy and his history – and he wants to prove that he's the greatest player of all time, he should go and spend a year or two with each bad team in the league and win them a title, and then he can go to the next team and say, like, look, it is me. I'm the greatest.
He can be the marks of, the Fidel Castro of the NBA.
If there was one team in the NBA that deserved to have LeBron James for 2 years to get a title, now that Cleveland's gone, who would it be? The fan base. I'm talking about the team that...
Seattle.
Oh, you're so wrong.
Now that question is going to kind of goof with me. Like now that Cleveland's won, who is it?
I hesitate. Come up with another word. I hate the word deserve.
Deserve meaning... What I mean by deserve, though,
I don't like the word deserve,
I hate
Dave.
It. I hate it.
I understand.
Because that's why Warriors fans acting like they did over the final three games of that series. They felt like they deserved a title.
Well, they expected it. I think that was
the sad sacks of the NBA historically.
This is Dave's, Kings.
No, no, because I don't think it's Sacramento.
No, I'm not saying I think it's Sacramento, but that's, you always come at things from the perspective of you're such a homer and you so badly want your city to win, and they haven't won here in Sacramento at all. So for you, you're like, you want to root for all the small teams, the
downtrodden
teams that have, yes,
like the Mother Teresa of the NBA. That's
so
fun.
The Knicks aren't on the
you're
list.
You're calling
for
yourself
you.
The Mother Teresa.
I'm downtrodden.
The
what now?
No,
the Knicks don't count.
Well, the Knicks,
too big of a market.
Too big of a market. They've won titles. I know,
but they've been crap for a long time.
So let me throw this one out to you.
I mean, this is basketball mecca in America.
Though.
Well, of course. I mean, you could say that about any team, though, right? I mean, like,
yeah, but they're a market where you can draw major pieces, and they've still managed to F it up the whole time.
But you're taking everything into account: length of franchise, length without a title or title at all, the reputation of the team, the fan base, blah blah blah. So let me throw one out to you. the LA Clippers. Mm. I mean, the LA Clippers, aren't they? Are they the new sad sacks, even though we all hate the Clippers?
I don't think anyone's ever going to view an L.A. franchise as a sad. I think you're just going to, you know, same with the New York thing.
Would you say in Orlando? Because they should have won when Shaq was there, and it never happened. They're kind of a smaller market, and they're not the huge draw. It's tough to get people to go there.
So put Orlando at the top of the list. Mm. We'll do this King of the Hill style.
Okay.
Orlando versus Milwaukee.
Didn't they just break ground on their new arena?
Sure.
Like a couple days ago?
Yeah, and in fact, no, not Milwaukee.
They've got longer without a title.
Milwaukee deserves to win nothing because they, when, you know how they funded that arena, Katie?
How?
They took $500 million of public money. Yeah, but it wasn't just that. They approved that money to go to an arena like a week after they approved a bill that cut $500 million in funding for the state university system.
Oh.
So you get nothing, Wisconsin. Not in my book. You're out.
Okay. All right.
Enjoy your stupid mouth-breathing inbred kids enjoying the Bucks game.
Wow.
Of that.
Whoa. Wow.
Come on.
Let that
you know what? I think
second.
What we need to get out of what Nate just said is that he's very high on education.
Yes.
Well, okay, let's look at it from that way.
I think your money's, your money's probably a little bit better spent on that than, you know.
Minnesota has the same issue as Orlando. They just it's length of franchise.
Yeah.
Tenure. What about Utah?
I mean, they never won, but they also enjoyed a really, really, really good run with John Stockton and Karl Malone.
They got good fans. They got a loud building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is really tough to choose in the NBA. I think
Cleveland's gone now.
I kind of keep coming back to the Kings, but that's why I'm a little uncomfortable with this. I feel like I can't give you an answer other.
Do you think
the NBA as a whole?
Portland's won. Jay said Portland. Was that over the air? Either way, Jay.
But Portland, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Portland's won, haven't they? Yeah, Portland won. Didn't they win a title in the 70s or something?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
True.
Phoenix never won. You can look at the team. Like, a lot of these teams that we're talking about,
the Clippers
had fantastic runs at some point, but didn't. I mean. Obviously, Minnesota with Kevin Garnett in that time, and you have Orlando with Penny Hardaway and Shaq. And then, let's see, Phoenix during Charles Barkley, Dan Marley, you know, KJ. Like, that time, they were a phenomenal team, never got over the hump.
I don't know why. The only problem – I hate doing this. The only problem I have with Phoenix is just I don't like hearing that they have issues selling playoff tickets.
What do you mean?
The stories that come out about how Phoenix had to, I think it was the last run, the last couple runs they made in the playoffs, they had to severely discount tickets because they still had a few thousand seats available for the playoff game.
Right, so they're off the list.
Toronto. How about Canada?
Toronto, Orlando, and Minnesota are almost kind of like all very, very good candidates, but then their weakness is the same thing with Memphis, Vancouver, is length of franchise existence.
So you're ruling out Oklahoma City then? Because, like, to me, they have the combination of the... I think you've kind of got to get a broad underdog story in.
I'm absolutely ruling out Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Because they stole the Sonics, A, and B, they've pretty much enjoyed phenomenal basketball the entire time they've been in Oklahoma
City.
Yeah,
but, I mean, they've been almost there. I mean, they're up 3-1 on the Warriors.
Sure.
They've got the two best players in the game that haven't won a ring, really. You've got to rule out
the Kings then, based on your logic, Dave. Because, and you already did, kind of, because you want to leave them out of it. But, you know, there was a handful of years here in Sacramento where, guess what, they enjoyed freaking great basketball.
Well, yeah,
great.
But I mean, you could do that with almost any franchise. I mean, my counter with
there's got to be a team out there that has just been dog crap the entire time, right?
I mean, with Oklahoma City, it's been like good almost the end. I mean, they've
no, the entire time they've been in Oklahoma City, they've been a winning team. Like, it's ridiculous. And especially the home crowd.
Right.
They have hardly lost there. I mean, I remember being, you know, when we were doing games there during the season, and you look at the stats that their media people sent out, and it's jaw-dropping how good they've been at home since they've been in Oklahoma City. So I have no pity for them.
That's where I kept going with the Clippers
going
too,
back
Jay.
To the Clippers.
I hate the Clippers. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. And Nate's point is very valid. It's hard to feel bad for a Los Angeles team, but I think the Clippers, we forget, before the Blake Griffin years, this was the saddest, dumbest, lamest joke of a franchise
really
probably
was.
In sports.
Do they even play in L.A., or do we even know?
About the Pacers.
I mean, yeah, basketball, you know, Mr. Mecca. Basketball. There, yeah. That's Indiana.
And they got close with that Artest Reggie Miller team that one year.
2 years ago at this time, was it Golden State? I mean, they were just as, they were kind of bad, like,
they got good
like
fast.
LA for a while.
Yeah.
Is that
right?
From the 2009, the Kings have the longest NBA championship drought. Is that correct?
Well, what year did they, are they taking credit for? 51?
Yeah, that's the thing. Are they going with Rochester as the last time?
Well, that's the only time.
That's the only time.
I'm saying, last time, only time they won the title. Dear Lord. I have the same problem with the Hawks as I do with the Suns.
This has maybe been the most indifferent segment.
A Hornets?
You keep throwing these names out there. I'm like, eh.
The point of, and maybe I did a poor job at getting there, is I'm trying to think in a silly world if LeBron James decided to become an NBA free agent. A
mercenary.
Thank you. That's the word. Yeah. That's the exact word mercenary. I was looking for. What would be the most amazing storyline to prove how good he is?
It's the worst team.
Oh, go to Philly next year. Go to Philly next year.
You have to go with the worst team right now. Yeah, you have to say Philly.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a different question that you asked.
And then after you take the worst team in the league from the season before to the NBA Finals, whether or not you win or not, then you say, okay, I'm opting out of my 2-year contract that I signed, 1 year with a player option, and then I'm going to go to the next worst team. That's basically how he has to do it.
Then the whole thing is, though, then I go, well, Philly was there with Iverson, and then Philly won a title in the 80s.
Yeah, but that's
new
history.
Rules.
You're right.
New NBA rules, guys. I've got it. The league MVP every year gets immediately transferred to the team with the worst record.
How crazy would that be?
Yeah. Who's not into that?
Wow, there wouldn't be any tanking. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll tell you about an animal getting shot. We'll tell you how Draymond Green... got loose.
Unrelated story.
Completely unrelated stories. And we'll get back into the draft stuff as well. It's a drive. And the animal thing, by the way, does tie into sports. Trust me. It's Sports 1140 KHDK. Ed Isaacson, NBC Sports, going to join us. Top draft. A little NBA at about 10 minutes. Stay tuned for that. The Olympics are coming. Hey, they're coming to Rio de Janeiro. And all reports say everything's going smooth.
Sarcasm.
Everything's great there.
Well, it's like referees in basketball. If you're not hearing anything, then it means that they're doing their job.
Great.
Right?
Just like it.
So
there's poop in the water.
There is.
There's.
Well, let's be honest, though, in any...
Mosquito-infested poop water.
Sure.
Disease-ridden mosquito-infested poop water.
And they've already, filed for financial distress?
Yes, they need federal funds because, So
and it gets worse.
They had an Olympic torch ceremony. The torch is lit, and then Brazil's a rather large country, so they run it around and all that before lighting the actual flame in Rio de Janeiro when the Olympics start. So I think it's the logo... One of the animals they had, the dumb logos they always do, like the awesome one was like Sam the Eagle when they were in L.A. and Beijing had, was it a panda? So anyways, they always have the logos, and they sell lots of stuffed animals and stuff. And I believe one of them is a jaguar for this Olympics.
Yes.
It was, Katie.
Yeah.
Oh.
The symbol is still going to stay the same, but the Olympic torch
ceremony happened. And they had a jaguar, an actual jaguar there, beautiful looking jaguar that was there and witnessed the whole thing. It was chained up. Yes, the cartoon smiling yellow jaguar known as, is it Ginga or Ginga? Probably Ginga, G-I-N-G-A, is the mascot of the Brazilian Olympic team. Okay. Jaguar also, you should know, is a near-threatened species that is already extinct in Uruguay and El Salvador, according to the International Union for Conservation of Nature. So what happened is they had this jaguar there. They had the ceremony and all that.
Juma
and
was her name.
Who?
Juma.
Juma. Juma the jaguar. And Juma enjoyed the ceremony, and everything went well. And then
did she?
They shot the jaguar.
Did she enjoy it?
Because I don't know.
She was tranquilized.
I don't know. They tranquilized her, and apparently she was... approaching a security guy and
a soldier,
and she did not respond to the calls for stop, lay down, whatever the hell,
stay.
They shot the jaguar and killed it.
And so Brazil's all, we'll see your gorilla with a jaguar.
Here's the quote, though. Here's the quote.
Yes.
And this is just very indicative of kind of the disaster that is already the you know, Olympics. We made a mistake in permitting the Olympic torch, a symbol of peace and unity, to be exhibited alongside a chained wild animal.
You think?
This image goes against our beliefs and our values. This is, of course, the local organizing committee for the Rio 2016 Olympics. And they added, we guarantee that there will be no more such incidents at Rio 2016.
They guaranteed it. Okay, uh-huh. They guaranteed it. So breaking news, everything's going to be great. They guarantee it.
We're good.
Did it take them killing this animal to realize that this is not a good thing? Like the symbol of peace and unity that is the Olympics.
It wasn't the human lives lost on the slave labor used to build the infrastructure for this Olympics.
Seriously.
It's so sad to me, and I know I'm an animal lover, and I, you know, I carry that
Hannibal
torch.
Lover.
That's what I heard. A Hannibal
I'm
lover.
Sorry, I'm an animal lover, and I carry that torch, and I get very upset about. I got upset
carry
about
that torch.
Yes,
I see what
thank
you did
you.
There.
Hannibal and I got upset lover. About the gorilla being shot and the statements after, and so on and so forth. But I just don't understand how people can be so short-sighted and not realize, like, whenever you make a plan for any kind of an event, especially an event of this importance, right?
Yeah.
You go through the list of things that could happen. I mean, the picture right here, you see the jaguar, and beautiful,
gorgeous
beautiful
jaguar.
Animal. And it's chained, and there's huge chains and two soldiers standing 2 feet away from this animal on both sides. Did you not at all think that something bad could happen? And if something bad happens, how would we deal with it? And if the only option you have is taking a gun and killing this animal at an event like this, then maybe you go with a different option.
Maybe don't do it. Maybe shy away from that.
So upsetting to me.
Well, hey, the Olympics are on their way, though. Fact,
are they? I don't know.
Well, we're set right now. I haven't even thought about this, but the Olympics are happening perhaps in August. by the way, Rory McIlroy will not be participating in the Golf Olympics in Brazil this year for the threat of Zika virus. So that is another name that is out. Although I do suspect, not that Zika is not a legitimate, very, very, very legitimate reason not to go. But is there any part of you now that's starting to think some of these athletes don't want to go to the Olympics, but they don't want to say they don't want to because they don't want to be looked at as not representing their country?
You think so?
I feel like
they're probably thrilled to have an out.
Yes. Yeah. Really? Not all of them, but I think some, especially the pros. I'm not talking about like Wendy Von Van Horn swimmer.
For Rory McIlroy.
Right.
The guy's got a green jacket. Like, he's achieved pretty much all you can achieve in golf. This doesn't mean anything.
And maybe he doesn't want to go to humid-ass Brazil and play golf
for
nothing.
He competes internationally every week.
And I think the same thing in the NBA. I think there's going to be,
I can look at the NBA and say I understand it, because like when Steph Curry came out and said I'm not going.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, you just finished playing.
Sure.
This is before the finals was
choking.
Over. But not even just that. Okay, Nate. But from the fact that, okay, they make a ton of money, and this is very golf is not labor intensive on you. You know, it's not, the effects on your body is a little bit different. Steph Curry's looking at potentially, even though he said, "Oh, I'm not having any surgeries." Well, he had a ton of MRIs. He's got shoulder issues. He's got ankle issues. He's got knee issues. Like, he needs to rest. I get that.
Well, the whole Warriors team needs to rest, but at least one of them was not resting yesterday, or maybe this is how he rested. We'll tell you
how he makes himself feel better.
We'll tell you how Draymond Green unwound after losing, literally, and Ed Isaacson coming up next. NBC Sports will talk draft. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. You know, they have the dumb Bachelorette and Bachelor and all that, and I know Manny Ramirez kind of did a documentary back in the day, but you say in your updates, and it always tickles me, when you say Kevin Durant will have many suitors. I started thinking, like, wouldn't that be great if there was a reality show where you just had, like, the Warriors and all the teams that wanted to enter line up, and they pitched their man, and then
you gotta give a rose.
Well, yeah, but it wouldn't be a rose. Like, you give him a little basketball or something. You know, and then in the end, he announces where he's going.
You need to learn to keep these things to yourself because this is an idea there, Dave. No, someone's going to take it and make all the money from it.
I'm just telling you, it'd be a great, I think I'd watch it. I'd watch it. I absolutely. And Oklahoma City's in there. And you got
the Kings would have to go full troll mode to get out of the first round. I mean, they'd have
to try to get him drunken in the spa.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. They've got to be turning over tables. They've got to be picking fights with the other contestants.
Sam Presti's over there. We've had so many good times. We're almost there. Ed Isaacson probably regrets coming on the program by now, but he is the NBA draft analyst for NBC. You can get him at NBA Draft Blog. Ed, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thanks for joining us this morning on what I'm sure is a very busy time for you. How are you?
Oh, okay, guys. How you all doing?
Doing good. We're just trying to make reality shows here, Ed. You know, trying to figure out a way to shine light on the Durant process. We'll lead off with that. In your heart of hearts, are you a subscriber to the to the common theory that he's most likely going to sign a 2-year deal with Oklahoma City and then perhaps opt out? I think it's about a $50+ million difference. Is that where you think it's going, or something else?
Yeah, I have a tough time believing that he's ready to give up on Oklahoma City at this point. And you know, the 2-year deal will at least allow him to ride out the rest of Russell Westbrook's contract and see where things are heading with him. You know, he's just loved in the Oklahoma City community. And, you know, I'm not sure any other destination right now. You know, I know people want to throw, you know, here's a way the Warriors can get him. Here's a way the Spurs can get him. I'm just not sure how realistic a lot of those will be for teams to be able to accomplish that and still have a full 8 to 10 man rotation that can compete. So unless he's really drawn home, you know, to the idea of going home to D.C., I think Oklahoma City is where he stays for now.
So with all that said, and that, you know, the Thunder can give him the most money too, what is he looking for from these potential suitors that could maybe swing him in another direction?
I think the biggest thing would be the idea of, you know, not just having a championship contender, but a team that could put together multiple championships. In a 2 to 3 year span, at least, to sort of, you know, help cement his legacy in a way that hasn't, you know, everyone recognizes one of the top 5 players in the NBA, and but he hasn't had those real career defining moments yet where he's spoken of in the same way that someone like a LeBron James is spoken of or Steph Curry. I think Durant is looking for that kind of situation.
Ed, when you're looking at the draft now and looking ahead to tomorrow, there's the number one and number two picks seem to be very cemented at this point, but the rest of the field seems like it can go really any way depending on what mock draft you're looking at. Is there something specifically that you see that might be a surprise?
You put it the right way. It's really 1 and 2 with Simmons and Ingram looks to be set. And Boston is really going to set the tone for where the rest of this draft goes at number 3. They're just one of a handful of teams in from the 3 to the end of the lottery who are looking to get out of the lottery at this point. Because the talent just isn't there, and if you can pick up a young player who has some superstar potential and has some experience already, that player will be a bigger benefit than getting one of the guys you'll find after Simmons and Ingram. So with that, it's sort of tough to tell how this is going to go at this point because depending on who Boston makes the deal with, we could see any one of 5 or 6 players going in that number 2 spot. Mm-hmm. And then all the rest, everything else will tumble from there. And you could take 10 different versions of the 3 3 through 10, how it will play out. And you still may end up being wrong because there's really no certainty in this pool.
NBC's Ed Isaacson, draft analyst for NBC. You can get him at NBA Draft Blog. He's on with us on The Drive. All right, so we're in Sacramento, and unfortunately for us Kings fans here, the draft every year is a high point because that's the guy that's going to help get us over the top. And you look up, you know, 4 mock drafts, and you've got Chris Dunn. You have Buddy Hield. You have Jamal Murray. It's a different name in every freaking mock draft. Your thoughts, if you had to guess, on who they're going to focus in on and who they're going to get and why?
Again, it's sort of tough to figure out what their options are going to be until, you know, we see how these potential trades work out. So the names you mentioned, there's a good chance two of them could be available at that point. I think Jamal Murray is certainly one guy they are targeted on if he falls into their range. Can help them instantly with his shooting ability. There's still some questions on whether you can play him at this point or not. Plus, they've had some success with the Kentucky guys already with Cousins. Paulie Stein had a very good rookie season. And so I think Murray would fit in well right away with them. The one name to sort of watch for, who is not mentioned a lot at this point, is Wade Baldwin, point guard out of Vanderbilt. Because I think Sacramento is very set on trying to upgrade the backcourt if they can. And there's a good chance that Dunn, Hield, Murray can all be gone before that number 8 spot. So if they're set on upgrading the backcourt, they may reach for Baldwin.
I was going to ask you about Baldwin, actually, and kind of loop it into the fact that what we're seeing now, a trend in terms of the pre-draft workouts, is that a lot of these, you know, potential top picks are not working out for teams. And there's a number of reasons why that happens. But this Baldwin specifically is really the only top prospect kind of in the draft that did come to Sacramento and work out for them. I want to ask you specifically about the opting out of the pre-draft workouts and why you think that that is going to continue to be the trend.
Because the agents control everything. Mm-hmm. They realize they have this bit of leverage in dictating how the process is going to go. And they're going to try and stretch that as much as they can. And the reasons can vary. If you're a Ben Simmons, you know you're going to go top 2. So, you ignore calls from anyone outside of those spots. Or we can have a Chris Dunn situation where his agent is set on getting him into a place where there's an opening at the point guard spot. So they withhold his medical records. You're talking about a guy with a couple of shoulder injuries that ended seasons early for him. Not having access to those medical records would make any team weary of going after him. So they release those collectively to teams they want. On the other hand, you get the agents who know. And this sort of came from the way Damian Lillard handled his workout a few years back. He impressed everyone because he knew there was a good chance he was going in the top 10, and he worked out for everyone. His thing was, I just want to go out there and show that I'm better than everyone. And Wade Baldwin sort of has that arrogance / chip on his shoulder kind of mentality that wants him to go in and either prove that he belongs somewhere or eventually make people regret that they passed on.
Well, Ben Simmons, it comes out reportedly, being told by the 76ers he will be their number 1 pick, but this is a guy that said, hey, I don't want to come work out for you. What do you read into that? And I mean, can it kind of be a bad way to start things off with an organization?
I think teams sort of expect it at this point. It's becoming more and more common. And Simmons, it did work out for them yesterday. You know, he ended up coming in for the workout yesterday, though it was, you know, a small private workout.
Oh, okay, yes.
But, you know, Carl Towns last year did very minimal work beforehand. You know, and a team like Philadelphia has had experience with this before. They didn't have, you know, Joel Embiid wasn't able to work out for them because of injury. Nerlens Noel wasn't able to work out for them because of injury. So it's a great thing. The workouts are a great thing to have when you're sort of up in the air and you have a choice among a large group of players. But when you're in a situation where you have a Ben Simmons or a Brandon Ingram, there's sort of enough to go on that while it'd be nice to have them in for a workout, just being able to talk to them should give you as much insight as you need, especially since agents will dictate for guys that high that they're not going to work out with anyone else. So it'll just be a solo workout, and you're not, you know, the kind of information you can get from that really isn't always that useful.
Ed Isaacson, NBC, talking NBA draft with us. This is the last thing I have for you. Most of the year we've heard that it's largely a two-man draft, Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram. Over the last couple of months, Chris Dunn's name has really popped up as a third guy that teams seem to love. Guy I'm stuck on, Ed, I'm curious why people don't seem to be publicly real high on Buddy Hield. I mean, this is a guy we know over the last couple of years, guys that spend time in school are more NBA ready right out of the gate. He's shown the work ethic. He's shown the ability to improve. And most importantly, he's shown that he can flat out play. So why are teams not huge on Buddy Hield?
I think they are for the most part. You know, LA even brought him in last week just to make sure they weren't making a mistake by passing on him at number two. I think what it comes down to is when you're some of these teams, a Phoenix and New Orleans, who really aren't that close to being playoff teams. You're probably a couple players away. The idea of sort of swinging for the fences with a high potential guy. You know, you look at the Dragon Benders in this draft, Marquise Chris. Is more appealing because you're thinking more 3-4 years down the road than you are next season. It's obvious Fields will be able to come in wherever he goes, and he's still going to end up being a top 6 or 7 pick, most likely. But for the teams that are near the bottom of their conferences, sometimes it really pays off to think more long-term than the instant gratification.
Ed Isaacson, NBC Sports. You can get him Twitter. NBA Draft Blog is the Twitter address. Ed, appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Enjoy the next couple of days.
Oh, thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
Have a good one.
Appreciate it. All right, that's Ed Isaacson.
I didn't realize that Ben Simmons went in yesterday.
Yeah, he tweeted out a picture of him in a Philadelphia practice jersey saying, trust the process.
This process that we're supposed to trust, it is completely annoying to me.
I'm going to laugh when the 76ers are a playoff team in 2 years and a title contender in 3. And Sam Hinkie is
it's
vindicated.
Funny, actually.
Yeah, I'll enjoy it. Except for the whole swap picks thing. I don't want to if my notes are correct, DeMarcus Cousins, Kosta Koufos, Willie Cauley-Stein, Rudy Gay, Omri Caspi, Caron Butler, Ben McLemore, Bellinelli, and Collison. Those are the 9 Kings currently under contract. And thanks to KingsFans.com for these notes here, and I always do trust their notes, it looks like they're going to have, as far as room, Wayne Ellington, some dead money on there. Right now, a little under $64 million allocated. They have $30 million plus in cap room, but if they keep that 8th pick, rookie wage scale, $2.5 million, long story short, they should have, if they keep their pick, just under $28 million available to fill out that roster.
Here's the big thing, and that's if there are no moves made.
And correct.
What is Rudy Gay's salary?
11 or 12 million, somewhere in there.
It's pretty, that gives you some working room.
It does.
That's another one of those big question marks for the offseason. I don't even know, it's not even just about how the Kings feel about him, but how he feels about the Kings. Because you never know what's going on in the kind of inner workings of how everything, you know, behind closed doors. I know that he seemed very unhappy after the whole Michael Malone thing because he had just re-signed his contract. And what was it, like a week or two later that they fired Malone? And he signed to play for Malone.
He wanted to go bye-bye.
And then didn't really fit into George Karl's system and like all of this stuff. I don't know that Rudy necessarily wants to be here. And
13 so that's million, by the way, next year.
That's a you know a valuable piece in terms of if you're going to make a trade or move some money around. But I think that Ed's right. The most intriguing thing about this draft is not where everybody goes; it's what Boston does with that number three pick.
I think to your point, Katie, and for the Kings, really, it is a domino effect. They're completely paralyzed, unless, of course, they move the eight.
Yeah.
But they're paralyzed because they don't know who they're getting.
Yes.
And I think once tomorrow ends and they know, did they just grab a small forward? Did they grab a point guard? I think we're going to be able to look and see at what they do tomorrow, be it draft or trade, and get kind of a clue as to where they're going. Exactly.
Well, and when you're in the eighth spot, I don't know, do you agree or disagree? You take the best player available.
I generally subscribe to that, Nate. I generally subscribe to if you're under 40 wins, you need to take the best player available. If you're low in the draft, obviously, of course, you're going to. But in this year's case for me, I would be a little bit disappointed unless Dragan Bender fell. I would really be disappointed if they took a front court player.
Mm-hmm.
You need... Give me a 1, a 2, or a 3.
Well, and
it's got to be a 1, a 2, or a 3.
We haven't really talked much about it because we don't know what's going to happen. But with the whole Darren Collison incident,
right?
What was it in the? It was around Memorial Day. Is that what that was?
Yeah.
And he goes to court in the middle of July. What have you? Rajon Rondo. He was, you know, he's a free agent. We don't know what's going to happen there. I think the assumption is that he's not going to return at this point. That leaves you with Darren Collison. And then there's the question mark of what's going to happen to him. So maybe given the circumstances, you absolutely have to take a 1, a 2?
Pretty much anything but a 5. I mean, if you get a 4, he's got to be able to play the 3. Anything but a 5.
Well, and that's the question. with $30 million available, and that's without Rudy Gay and Ben McLemore is another guy being shopped around. The other question there too is, and I completely lost my train of thought now. I don't know what the next question is, but we'll get to it when we get back. No, that's okay. I had it, Jay, and then I lost it in wondering exactly how they handle that roster going into next year. Ryan Anderson, that's where I was going. Again, I'll stick by this. Let me be clear. I love Ryan Anderson. I said this last time we talked about it. I love him as a person. I love him as a player. And if he signs with the Kings, I will absolutely support the hell out of him. I think that would be a horrific signing for the amount of money that they're going to pay him. And I still will stand by the fact that I believe Ryan Anderson will be a King next year. And I don't like that. It
and
doesn't make sense.
What has to happen for that to happen?
They sign him as a free agent.
Yeah, I realize that. But are there some moves in regards to that?
Right. That's the thing with $30 million.
Doubling up on some positions.
You're looking at $15 million probably a year for Ryan Anderson. So that's half your nut right there. And you still have to fill. You still have to fill in point guard and shooting guard. Again, that's where the draft comes in. We'll get more to this when we get back. Lots of stuff to unpack from that draft conversation as well. We have some free agents that are available. And also, I have this on the side. We'll get to it at some point. The body issue athletes are out. There's some interesting ones. And by interesting, I mean
good.
Interesting. Does that make sense? I'm saying there's a couple of bigger people like me.
Nice.
So. It's a drive. Yes, Jay, absolutely. Sports 1140 KHDK.